is in Half Point Font font. So. Thank you so much. So much for being prepared. Okay. So this is, we're going over John 14. And, yesterday the message was about 20 pages. I've managed to get it down to this. So.
Nice. All right.
Amen.
Lettering sure small.
Yes, it is. So, Revelation 3:17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And Jesus has a counter to this in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's right there really tells us all we need to know about how to get to heaven. You know, we don't have to try to do it on our own, like it was referred to in Revelations, where the church there was, you know, getting away from God's word and trying to do things that they weren't supposed to be doing. And when you get away from the word, you get how they were, how Jesus saw them.
Yeah.
Try to do everything on your own, you become powerless, you know, hopeless, and catatonic in many ways.
Right.
But Jesus was emphatic when he spoke these words. There was no wishy-washy. Jesus, you know, many people see Jesus as extremely meek, which he was.
Yes.
But meek does not mean weak-kneed.
Right.
You know, he didn't have to raise his voice. You know, when I'm talking to my dogs trying to get them to do something, once in a while I have to raise my voice.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus is not like that. There is no wiggle room or looseness in how we interpret them if we want to make it to heaven. You know, we have to take Jesus' words for what they say. We can't have all these different interpretations. Like, I believe one thing, my wife believes another. You know, Jesus' words are what they are. Much has been, much has been written and spoken of the contrary. People want an easier way to obtain eternal life. But man cannot short circuit what Jesus has laid out by his life.
Yeah.
We got some people coming.
Okay.
Hey,
what
up? Chris?
Yes.
Chris?
Yeah.
Welcome.
So, you know, there's a very specific way that God wants us to live, and we can't live outside that and still expect eternal reward. Now, put in here, this next paragraph is somebody else's words. I plagiarized it in its entirety.
Okay.
It was so much better than anything I could have put together.
Amen.
I don't think you'll mind.
There's been a lot of plagiarism lately in the news and everything, and I don't want to be discovered later on, so I'm putting it out there like this.
That's right.
It says, next paragraph, I am. You know, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. I am in the Greek language. I am is a very intense way of referring to oneself. It would be comparable to saying, I, myself, and only I am. Several other times in the Gospels, we find Jesus using these words, Matthew 23:32. Jesus quotes Exodus 3:6, where God uses the same intensive form to say, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In John 8:58, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews clearly understood Jesus to be calling himself God, because they took up stones to stone him for committing blasphemy and equating himself with God. In Matthew 28:20, as Jesus gave the Great Commission, he gave it emphasis by saying, I am with you always to the end of the age. When the soldiers came seeking Jesus in the garden the night before his crucifixion, he told them, I am he. And his words were so powerful that the soldiers fell to the ground. These words reflect the very name of God in Hebrew, Yahweh, which means to be or the self-existing one. It is a name of power and authority, and Jesus claimed it as his own. And one of the things I didn't do was put a lot of context in there with the scripture, but of course everybody can read it. But it's just, when I was going through trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about, this verse kept coming up. Okay, yeah, so I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way. Jesus says that he is the only way to heaven. This was laid out in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified for our sins, it was laid out right here. I think it was, 400 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next part of is the truth, but we're actually going to switch up and go to the life. Jesus says he is alive. Before long, John 14:9, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus gives us a life worth living. He gives us hope and a purpose. He gives us a promise of living in heaven for all eternity. And I can't speak for anybody else, but my life before I became a disciple was hopeless. The day before I was met was the worst day of my life. Had 3 boys at the time, an extremely bad marriage, and we were going to the Dodgers homecoming game, fan appreciation game, sometime in September, I believe it was, or October. One of my sons was late, as he usually is, or usually was, I should say, and his mom called me up and said, hey, we're going to be late. I lost it. I'm like, forget about it. I don't want to see you guys anymore. And then the next night, I was working for a company that sold technology to the federal government. It was a closing of the yearly business, so me and another guy were in there really late, like midnight, and calling overseas. He could tell I was down. I knew he was a Christian because he was always on the phone talking to his friends while we were supposed to be selling and everything, and he was always talking about God. He could tell that I was not feeling well. He came over, we talked, and we decided to leave, and that was my journey to become a Christian.
Wow.
So God is the one that gives its purpose.
Amen.
But now that brings us to the last, which was actually number 2 in here. Jesus is the truth. John 1:1 states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says, in the Greek text, the word is translated from the Greek word logos, which has several meanings, including word, speech, reason, order, and principle. In the context of 1:1, word refers to Jesus Christ. This phrase asserts that the word, Jesus Christ, is not merely a divine messenger or creation, but is of the same divine essence as God himself. This is a key theological point in the Gospel of John, affirming the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, next paragraph talks a little bit about subjective truth. People talking about, this is my truth, or this, But I was had a thought this morning. Does anybody have a Bible?
An electronic one.
Can you turn to Matthew 1 for me? Okay, so Sidney inspired me with something he talked about the other day. And so here's the New Testament, right? Here's the Old Testament. churches today tend to, you know, this is what we tend to talk about all the time.
Right.
We hardly ever talk about this. When we do, it's in passing.
Right.
So if Jesus, you know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name. And then teaching them all that I have taught you. So, now, the apostles are gone. So those words are meant for us.
Right, that's right.
So, how are we, if we're teaching people everything that Jesus taught them, how are we ignoring, you know, 80 to 85% of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
But we never seem to talk about. And the reason I say we're ignoring this is not only in our church, our movement, but in many other churches, things that are talked about in the Old Testament are ignored by our churches today. A couple of them, tithing, for example. Many churches say that tithing is not around any longer. Music, playing music. You know, just because something may not be mentioned in the New Testament doesn't mean it's still not valid.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so when it comes to mind when we're talking with this other church, there are certain things that they don't believe for whatever reason. And if we are going to merge with them, we need to teach them what Jesus Christ says. That he taught. If he's there with God in Genesis 1:1, then everything said throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament is valid. And so just because something may not be mentioned in the New Testament doesn't mean it's still not valid. And every time I hear something like that, you know, it hurts. And I, you know, it's kind of cringy too, because Philippians 4:2 or something like that says we all need to be of one accord, of one mind. We need to agree on what this book says. And there are divisions within, you know, every church I've ever been in. Well, I believe this, I don't believe this. I believe this because this is how I interpret it. I don't believe we need to do that anymore because it's not in the New Testament. But Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, teach them everything that I have taught you. John 1:1 says, I was, you know, Jesus is the Word, and he was with God in the beginning. So,
amen.
I hope that makes sense.
Oh, complete.
Yep. Amen.
And, yeah, that's it. So, but let's pray for the food. Are we going to do communion?